Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hour of Truth with Coach FT. I'm your host, Frank Thomas. I'm a man of God disguised as a life, business, and career coach, consultant, speaker, and author of the forthcoming book, Rise, Even Death Can't Stop Me. This is my debut book about overcoming a childhood marked by parental addictions, abandonment, adversity, and bad choices, and how I turned everything that could have been a reason to quit into a reason to succeed. Thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening live, replay, or podcast, I'm honored that you would take part of your day to allow me the opportunity to speak into your life. That's a privilege as far as I'm concerned, and one I take very seriously. Hour of Truth with Coach FT is about sharing the truths of life through my experiences, the experiences of my guests, and the experiences of you, the listeners. Everyone has a truth. I'm reminded of a song by Grammy Award-winning artist Lecrae, who said, "If what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me, what if my truth says your truth is a lie? Is it still true?" That's why we're here. I want to have an open and honest discussion with you to share some topics that I feel are important to living in the truth of life. It's not a mistake that we're here together. I believe everything happens for a reason and has a purpose. You know, during the course of this show, I'll do my best to take as many calls as possible to get your thoughts, questions, comments. I encourage you to share. This is a safe place of love, encouragement, hope, and respect. If you have a question or comment today, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is area code 619-393-2918. Again, that's 619-393-2918. So last week, you got to know a little bit about me and my personal story. Everybody's got a story. What's your story? Today's topic is about the power of a new story. Have you ever noticed how some people who are super talented never live up to their full potential, while others who have had the most horrible past, riddled by mistakes and failures and despair, rise above it all and create amazing lives, families, and businesses? Why is that? Follow me while I take you on a journey. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." As a Christian, the moment I acknowledge in my heart and with my mouth that I believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he suffered, died, and was resurrected for the sins of the world, I was a new creation. So you would wonder, why do so many Christians suffer and live in bondage despite being made new through the blood of Christ? The problem is the old story. You see, most of the stories that we have accepted as our own and live by as adults are told to us as children by our parents or other adults in positions of power and influence during a time in our lives when we're incapable of understanding the magnitude of such and unable to challenge or decide whether to accept or reject the premise of those stories given to us. You know, additionally, our environment plays a tremendous impact on how we view ourselves and the stories we tell ourselves. The old stories work out really well if you had phenomenal parents who were fully present and were raised in an environment of unconditional love, including having all the resources that are necessary in order to meet your basic needs, and they protected you from the evils of life. The story doesn't work quite as well if you're raised in a home with dysfunctional tendencies, you lack safety, and or your basic needs weren't getting met. Many people who were raised in the latter kind of home, they remain in bondage to those dysfunctional stories even after they've been freed and given new life through making a choice for Christ after the sacrifice he made on the cross. Why? Because they keep telling themselves the old story. When we look in the mirror, we see ourselves through our brokenness. We see ourselves through our faults, our failures, our mistakes, our parents' mistakes and dysfunction, our sins. we become highly sin conscious. And as a Christian, I don't have to worry about sin. Neither do any other Christians, because sin is not our problem. When Jesus died on the cross, we were washed clean by his blood. Sin was defeated. Yet for some reason, we don't drop it like Christ intended for us to. We continue to carry the burden and allow it to destroy the one and only opportunity we have to live free and whole. How do you know if you're living according to the old story? Well, if you're an adult and you can identify with one or more of these examples, you may be living in your old story. The scared little girl who had the abortion at 16 and carries the guilt and shame of believing she murdered her little baby. The child whose parents said they would never amount to anything, and they've walked through life believing it, never daring to challenge their parents' abusive words. The child who was abandoned by their father and feels a lack of self-worth and seeks affirmation through achievement, but no matter what they achieve, they never feel completely validated. It's off to the next achievement. The man who neglects his family in the name of providing for them, the same way his father did, because he believes he has nothing to offer them other than a financial living. The promiscuous young man or woman who used sex to find the affirmation that he or she never received from their father, and they believe it's the only way they can make someone love them. The child who grew up in poverty and surrounded by adults with addictions, violence, and hopelessness, and believes they're not worthy of a better life, and therefore perpetuates the same cycle. What about the woman who was repeatedly molested during her childhood by her father and believes it was her fault, and the guilt keeps her from being able to accept the true love of a man? Or the young woman who is constantly beaten by an alcoholic and abusive parent and believes she could never do anything correctly, and that's the reason the beatings occurred. The young man, like me, who committed a stupid crime as a teenager and was convicted of a felony, and who must now carry a scarlet letter F wherever he goes and believes he's a criminal because that's how society views and measures him. So he never tries to do anything better to better himself, because no matter what he achieves, he'll never overcome a felony. You fill in the blank. I mean, one of the above may not be your exact story, but you know the old story. The story that you're holding on to, and it makes you feel trapped and burdened by your past. We all have made mistakes or had failures or have had bad things happen to us in life that we feel make us ugly. And we do our best to hide it from the world, because we feel if others knew it, it would lend us unworthy of connection. The shame of being exposed, humiliated, and disconnected from others can be too much to bear. The feeling of being unworthy of connection based on our mistakes or our failures from the past is a lie. It's straight from the pit of hell. However, we buy into Satan's lies, even though all of our sins, all of our mistakes, failures, every bad thing that has ever happened to us can be covered under the blood of Christ. We are new creations in him. So let me tell you my old story. You weren't here last week to listen in. You didn't get an opportunity to hear. So I'm going to share my old story. I was raised in poverty. My mother was a 16-year-old mother, single mother, when I was born. By the time I was 12, both my mother and father had abandoned me, either physically or emotionally, or both, because of drug addiction, alcoholism, depression, and incarceration. My younger brother and I were essentially raising ourselves. I finally left home at 17 years old because the dysfunction was too much to bear. I did okay for a little while because I had the support of two other families. But at 19, neither of those two families were in the picture anymore. I was expected to be a man, but I was only a scared little boy. I didn't know how to be a man. I panicked. I was forced to go back to the dysfunctional home with my mother that I left 2 years prior because I had nowhere else to go. the same home I knew was no good for me, and that I had left earlier to try to make a better, you know, life for myself. And by this time, my mother was dealing drugs. It was then that I made one of the worst decisions of my life. I allowed myself to get sucked into the drug dealing subculture. I wanted to get away, but I didn't have the money to do such. I saw how others were making money so quickly and easily. And if I could just make enough money, I could move away like I wanted to. So against my better judgment and despite my fears, I began selling drugs. Within 3 weeks, I was arrested and ultimately ended up pleading guilty. I was now a convicted felon, just like my father and so many of the men in my family before me. My life was over. After being convicted, I moved away from my family. I relocated halfway across the country to escape and start a new life. I wish I could tell you that things got better from there. They didn't. Not long after moving away, I was summoned back to my hometown to appear at a deposition for a lawsuit that was related to an auto accident that I had been in 3 years earlier at 16. I drove the almost 1,800 miles back to my hometown in compliance with the summons. The place and people I was trying so desperately to get away from called me back. During that visit, I was arrested during a police raid at the house my mother was selling drugs from. The drugs that were found that day were pinned on me. In that moment, my mother abandoned me again, leaving me to go to jail for drugs that belonged to her. I was facing up to 60 years in prison for something I didn't do. And the one person in the world who was supposed to love me and protect me at all costs allowed me to be fed to the wolves to save herself. I had no choice except to fight for my life in the court of law. Through that experience, my life changed forever. My full story is being chronicled in a memoir titled Rise, Even Death Can't Stop Me. You can find more about my forthcoming book by going to www.thefrankthomasstory.com. Here's my new story. Yes, I am a convicted felon. Yes, I made a bad choice out of desperation and had a serious lapse in judgment that led to a felony conviction. I take full responsibility for my actions. I broke the law, and I deserve to be punished for that. But that's where the story ends. You see, the new story begins. I committed a crime, but I am not a criminal. Do you see the distinction? You are not your mistakes. You are not your failures. You are not whatever bad things may have happened to you. That is, unless you allow yourself to be. You choose. What have you chosen? No one is as bad as his or her worst mistake. And Jesus gave his life based on that premise. As a teenager, I didn't wake up each day thinking of how I can cheat or beat the system to get anything and everything I wanted in life. My choice to sell drugs as a teen was purely motivated by my desire to survive economically in a system where I had neither parent, parental figure, or mentor to help guide my choices in a moral and ethical manner. At 19, society said I was a man. I didn't feel like a man. I didn't know how to act like a man. I was a scared little boy. Now, I'm a convicted felon. The world tells convicted felons that you're worse than dirt. You're not worthy to engage in society at its highest level because your character is flawed. Just because you've made a mistake or had a devastating failure doesn't mean life is over. I stopped buying that story for myself. And by the grace of God, I chose a new story. Who lives and has never made a mistake? Who lives and has never done something that was wrong or immoral? To God, sin is sin. And sin had become so rampant, it grieved God so much that Jesus, his one and only Son, was sent to die for us, to be the propitiation for our sins. I chose not to allow my felony conviction to define me. I went to college even though people discouraged me because I was a felon. Some said, "What are you going to college for? You're a felon. You'll never get a job." I just couldn't accept my mistake as the story I was going to live for the rest of my life. Just because I made a mistake didn't mean my life was over. I graduated from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles with a degree in accounting. And guess what? I was a student commencement speaker at my college graduation. That's right. I addressed the entire graduating class and all their friends, family, supporters, and the faculty and staff. Yes, me, a convicted felon. Guess what else? I went on to work for Deloitte & Touche, the second largest professional services firm in the world. I'm a licensed, certified public accountant in California. Yes, me, a convicted felon. That's not all. I went on to become an executive for a Fortune 500 company and one of the 10 largest residential construction companies in the United States. And I made more money than I ever dreamed I could make. Yes, me, a convicted felon. I'm not saying all of that to boast. Quite contrary. I'm saying this to prove a point. It's only over if you quit. If you're tuning in, this is the Hour of Truth with Coach FT, and we're talking about the power of a new story. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is area code 619-393-2918. So what do? The solution is to create a new story. If you change your story, you can change your life. I know. There is power in creating a new story. You don't have to be confined by or a prisoner to the old story. You simply have to have faith that you are forgiven for your past transgressions, that you are healed from the pain, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you create and live according to the new story offered to you through the blood of Christ, you'll see what God sees, a soul that is a new creation, a soul that is loved, a soul that is redeemed, a soul that's delivered, forgiven, perfect in Christ Jesus, whole and healed, worthy, free, a soul that is justified and declared innocent, a soul that's holy, righteous, a joint heir, an ambassador, a partaker of his divine nature, a soul that is a light. How do you create a new story? First, you must know the truth. In order to create a new story, you must deal with the truth. You must know who you are in Christ. As a member in covenant with God, you have received rights and privileges. This covenant membership gives you legal standing with God. After accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior and confessing Him as Lord, you have a legal right to receive eternal life, the divine nature of God, and the love of God. A legal right to receive victory over sin, sickness, fear, demons, and Satan. A legal right to healing. A right to use the name of Jesus in prayer. A right to use the name of Jesus as a weapon of authority over everything. A legal right to receive the Father's protection and care. A legal right to receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to enable you to carry out the work of Christ on earth. A legal right to receive the care and protection of the Holy Spirit. A legal right to receive an inheritance in the new heaven and new earth. A legal right to be free of poverty. A legal right to the ministry of Jesus. The right to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the right to every promise in the Word of God. Do you believe what's promised to you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? One way to find out is to examine your actions. Do you walk with courage and boldness in the areas of life you feel called, despite having no idea how things will work out? If so, in what areas of your life are you doing it, and how? If you're not, why? Secondly, you have to know your God-given purpose. Understand, you were created for a God-given purpose. Created is the first action verb in the Bible. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." The very word create implies purpose. For what has been created without a purpose? Nothing. The very computer you might be listening, you know, to this program was designed with a purpose. Just like everything that you can see before you this moment, the seat you are sitting on right now has a purpose. If it didn't, it would have never been created. In order to live effectively for the kingdom, you must know your God-given purpose. You know, as a coach, I often hear from my clients, "I don't know what my purpose is." I always respond by telling them, "Look, I can't tell you what your purpose is. However, I can tell you what your purpose is not. Your purpose will never have anything to do with a selfish ambition or motivation. God didn't put us here for us. He put us here for His glory." Oftentimes, your purpose is revealed to you through your experiences, good and bad. God doesn't waste anything that has happened to you in life. Everything is used to glorify Him. And it reminds me of a story of Bruce Lee and a master martial artist. The master martial artist came to Bruce Lee, and he said, "Bruce, teach me everything you know about martial arts." Bruce held up two cups that were completely filled with liquid. And in his left hand, he said, "This cup represents your entire knowledge of martial arts." In the right hand, Bruce said, "This cup represents my entire knowledge of martial arts. If you want to fill your cup with my knowledge, you must first empty your cup of your knowledge. If you want to know your purpose, you must empty your mind of all the social conditioning, all the clutter, all the false purposes that you've been taught, and you must fill it with the knowledge of the God." There are people who walk around the earth looking for purpose and meaning, Christians even, walking around the earth looking for purpose and meaning. You'll never find it. You must go to the Creator. It's like the potter who creates a coffee mug, and the coffee mug says, "I'm a shovel." The coffee mug has no idea what its purpose is. It didn't create itself. Only the Creator can tell the coffee mug what his purpose is. So what are ways to discover your God-given purpose? One, you can ask God. Engage in honest prayer and connection with Him. Get quiet before the Lord and meditate on His Word. Evaluate yourself through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Preach the gospel and wait patiently for Him to reveal it to you. You see, God also gives you gifts and talents to fulfill your purpose. For whom God calls, He also qualifies and equips. Look back over your life and examine how God could desire to use your old story for His glory. What have you overcome in life that could glorify God and His miracle-working powers? Where have you had successes that you believe are a testament to God's favor and have placed you in a position of influence? You see, the fact that you are here today listening shows me that God has used my trials, my mistakes, my lessons, and has given me influence to give people hope and encouragement. Now, simply use those things and connect the dots between your experiences, your gifts and talents, and your interactions with God. What do you believe God has revealed to you as your purpose? If you identify something as your purpose that you can accomplish without God's help, you probably need to go deeper. Third, you have to decide whether you are going to choose faith or fear. Fear is the number one killer of dreams in God's people. Fear is a liar. God's word says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What keeps you from living in the calling God has on your life? Have you chosen fear over faith? Is it a lie? Is that fear a lie? If so, in what ways and why? How has your choice of being safe, choosing fear instead of walking in faith, served you? Conversely, how has your choice of being safe harmed you? You must be truthful to yourself. Being truthful to yourself is the only way to get to the root of the issue. Self-deception is worse than the enemy's deception. Could you let go of that lie that fear tells you? If you could, would you? When would be a good time to let it go? What story are you telling yourself that has become your reason, your excuse, your impediment for accepting less than God's best for your life? The fourth step in telling yourself a new story, you must own your old story. We tell ourselves stories for a reason. The story you have told yourself served you in some way at some point where you have never bought into it. Everything we do has some form of payoff. If it didn't, we wouldn't do it. Own the fact that you allowed yourself to accept a bad story, but give yourself some grace and move forward. Can you own the fact that you have allowed yourself to accept a bad story at times? Can you own the fact that you have the ability to reject the old bad story and create a new story, the story that's given to you through the blood of Christ? What gives you the greatest long-term payoff and why? Accepting the old story or accepting the new story? Fifth way to create a new story. You must define your new story, your new vision. Without a true sense of purpose, you'll never know, and you'll never change your old story. If you understand your greater purpose, then you will gain the courage and strength to take the interpersonal risks necessary to live life on the highest possible level. What new story do you feel God has purposed you for? What new story do you feel God has purposed you for? What has the Holy Spirit put on your heart to pursue that has nagged you and won't let you rest? Sixth step in creating a new story. You need a blueprint. You need to create an action plan based on your new story, your new vision, to fulfill your purpose. This blueprint, it's a plan for bringing your new story to life by taking inspired action. Create action steps based on your new story, your new vision. This will help bring your new story into reality. Make your action steps small and easy to do. Baby steps, they're not only preferred, I highly encourage them, because they're the keys to success. You don't get points for making the process hard. I suggest that you never take more than 3 action steps at a time. The point is to build up your success muscle, and that's easier to do when the steps are bite-sized. action steps must not be general or nebulous. They must be smart, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. Lastly, everyone needs accountability. In order to ensure you act on your new story, you'll need help. No one makes it on their own. We all need help. Who are you going to share your blueprint with that will hold you accountable to your new story and will not allow you to choose fear over faith? If you have a comment or question, the lines are open. The call-in number is area code 619-393-2918. Again, that's area code 619-393-2918. We're going to go to the phones. Caller, you're on.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, this is Benjamin Brown.
Yes,
indeed. I was calling to see if in your life with the past things that you've experienced, if you have any more stories that you had to erase that you thought were true at the time that now you realize aren't true.
You know, this is it's always going to be a fight. I mean, the things that that we hide from, that they'll never be natural for us to share. However, you know, those things, they, if we don't share them, they keep us small. And so, yeah, there are many other things. I mean, most of them are chronicled in the book that I'm writing called The Rise, Even Death Can't Stop Me. I highly encourage, you know, this is my plug for my book, but I highly encourage you to check out my website at thefrankthomasstory.com to sign up to get updates, you know, on the impending release of the book. But of course, man, there are many, many things in life. It's not just about one thing. It's about many things. And we all have them, but the truth is none of us are as bad as our worst mistake, our worst failure. So hopefully that answers your question. I know I didn't give you specifics, but I do appreciate the question.
No, that's great. Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you. Let's see here. I can get this line open. I'm having user trouble here. Let's see here. Mute. Caller?
Hello?
You're on?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon, Frank.
Thank you. Frank? How are you? Yes.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Question? Comment? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. This is Terry Dennis. Great
topic. Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you. This is a great topic on coming up with a new story.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there, on some level, you know, there are many things that we've all experienced, things that we've done that, you know, if we told people, we would feel shame, and so we hold on to them, and it keeps us from, you know, really engaging at life at the highest level, because we're afraid on some level that if we share them, we're going to be exposed and humiliated, and people are going to look at us as though we're from outer space. And the reality is that's simply a lie. I mean, our stories, our failures, our mistakes make us human. People don't want to be around perfect people. People want to be around people who are imperfect just like they are. And so I just, you know, the more I can share my story, my stories, to be able to free people, to allow people to understand that it's okay and that there's freedom that comes with sharing that story, the more I think that there will be people who, you know, engage in life at the highest level and do amazing things with their lives. But hiding those things only keeps us a hostage.
Right. Do you believe that a new story that the person develops is just as important for them as it is for others to hear? Do you believe?
You know, that's a great point. You know, the reality is this, is that there are people who will never step into their God-given destiny until you arrive. And if you are holding back because of fear of being judged, being exposed, your worst secrets being exposed, then you can't show up authentically in life, in any facet of life. And when I tell you, you can't show up in any facet of life, I mean any facet. I mean, I can't be the husband and the father that I'm supposed to be if I'm hiding, because I'm carrying things that, you know, that can keep me sick. You know, I once heard, you know, the saying that secrets keep you sick. And when you're sick, you just don't engage in life at its highest level.
Right. Most definitely.
Yeah.
All right,
so
thank you.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Thank you for calling in, Terry.
Did you have something else to say?
I was just going to say that that's why it's so important to be able to free yourself, to understand that you're not those things. Everyone has made mistakes. Everyone has had failures. Everyone has had things happen to them through no fault of their own. And look, and all those things, yes, we do think that they make us feel ugly, that if we share them, people would look at us different. And the truth is, you know, someone's got to stand up with the courage and let people know that we're not as perfect as we want people to believe we are.
Right.
And then begin to free other people to let go and to begin to start walking in their new story.
Sort of being an example for them as well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. And we got to go to the next call. I appreciate your call, though.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Caller, you're on.
Hi, Frank. This is Ann White. You're doing fabulous tonight. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you. This is something that's just really near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I'm 41. I'll be 42 on Tuesday. And if you can imagine a life of 42 years, you know, where there's been hiding, and it's toxic. It can be toxic. It can be toxic in our relationships. It can keep us from, you know, stepping into, you know, the greatest ventures business-wise, having the greatest relationships. It's something that we must learn to let go. And then one of the things that I've come to realize and recognize is that, you know, our ability to let those things go, you know, on some level has something to do with our tolerance for pain. See, because there are some people who they'll die with that old story. They'll never allow the new story to be created because of the fear associated with that old story. And that's a shame.
So, Frank, and I think, too, you show that we have a choice. We can either be victims or we can be survivors. And by holding on to that old story, we become victims to our story. And I just had tears in my eyes listening to you tonight once again, because you show the power of adopting a new story, of saying, there's no mistakes. What happened to me got me to where I am today, and I am a survivor. And I just thank you for sharing your story and hope that we can have so many people. I work in the inner city in St. Petersburg, and I just am trying to think of ways to bring your story in for young kids who have given up hope and who have become victims, to let them know that there is power and possibility to create your own story. And you're a hero for doing that, Frank. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I honestly believe it's, you know, I used to think it was just about young kids, and I realized, you know, young kids, they have the blanket slate. I mean, we can catch them early, and you know, their stories haven't been written. It's the ones who are 42 years old, and they look back and they say, I'm 42 years into this. There's no way I'm going back to create a new story and deal with all that stuff. I'm just going to ride off into the sunset and just die like this. And you know, and that's what happens. You become the living dead. You're living this life, but you are a prisoner. You are a hostage, and you will never ever be able to give the truest gift, you know, to the people who you know you love, and to humanity, by sharing, you know, from that place of authenticity, that place of vulnerability, that place of truth, that it's required for people to step into the fullness of life.
And it is brave, and it is powerful, and it is courageous. And my hat is off to you tonight, and I thank you so much. I'm going to get off the phone and let you talk to your listeners, but I just wanted to salute you and just say how proud I am, and let's let the world hear your story. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ann. Thank you for the call. So, you know, I wrote a declaration for myself. For my new story, and I wanted to share that. My declaration of my commitment, it says, I, Frank Thomas, promise God and myself, I will not cower from my purpose and the calling on my life. I, Frank Thomas, declare that the blood of Jesus says I'm worthy, qualified, and equipped to answer the call. I, Frank Thomas, further agree that by accepting my purpose and calling, I will not allow my declaration to be made in secret. I, Frank Thomas, will share it with at least one other believer, one witness, whom I trust to guard my vision and will help me be accountable to myself and to God. I, Frank Thomas, recognize that I have lived with less than God's best for my life far too long, and now is the time to exercise the power and authority given to me to make his name known through the fruit of my faith. I, Frank Thomas, make this declaration in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lastly, before we close, I wanted to share what I felt like were the 10 most important reasons to create and tell yourself a new story. One, you're dead in the old story. You're limited to how far you can go. You'll be Satan's whipping boy or whipping girl, and he'll have his way with you until you choose the new story. Second, you're called to be a witness. If you can't show people evidence of God's miracles, signs, and wonders in your life, what are you witnessing to others about? Who is going to want to follow you if you are still living in the brokenness that Christ has redeemed you from? Your children, your friends and family, your community, the entire world is counting on you to lead. Some people won't stand a chance until you show up authentic and true to who God created you to be. And the only way you can do that is to own your new story. The third most important important reason to create and tell yourself a new story. Faith works, or faith without works is dead. Faith is active, an action. It's not passive. It's not the simple words, I believe. You must take action to create the new story. Obedience commands the blessings of God. Faith is an active and actual stance for Christ. The Bible says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you are in faith, choosing the new story given to you by Christ, you will walk different. You will talk different. You will exude love, compassion, confidence, grace, and hope that others need to see in you. Fourth, if you keep telling yourself the old story, you'll continue to hide and play small in life. And the minute you get the courage to be bold and to step out in faith, Satan will stop you by saying, sit down and shut up before I expose and humiliate you with your old story. And you know what you'll do? You'll sit down and shut your mouth. Why? Because Satan is using your old story to extort you. The only way to keep from being extorted is by being willing to give up the old story. You have to share it. When you share your old story and how Christ redeemed you with the new story, you take Satan's power away. He can no longer hold that old stuff over your head and play you like a puppet master. You'll send him scrambling because he no longer has any darkness to use against you. Fifth, secrets keep you sick. When you're hiding in your old story, the healing process is circumvented, which prolongs the suffering. You must bring light to the old story to drive out that darkness. This will propel you to freedom. Sixth, you'll never step into the power and authority granted to you through the blood of Christ. Christ's power only exists when you accept the new story. In the old story, you're powerless over the attacks of the enemy. Seven, you'll always define yourself through trials and tribulation and not through the victory given to those who believe. And this is very important, because who of us outside of Christ has any strength to endure or overcome? Your power isn't in overcoming your challenges and obstacles. Your power is in the measure of your surrender. You know, when the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in his flesh to keep him from being conceited, he pleaded with Jesus to take the pain away. And Jesus replied, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Without fully accepting the new story, you can't live in full victory. The eighth most important reason to create and tell yourself a new story: you'll live in fear if you don't. If you have nothing to hide and are fully transparent, what is there to fear? You can't be exposed because you're in faith, shown by your actions. And it says, you are in him. Nine, you'll be frustrated because you know the truth that you are not your mistakes or your failures, yet you'll keep settling for the lies. There is nothing worse than knowing you have power, but are simply unable to access it because you lack faith. And no matter how much you accomplish in life, nothing will ever deeply satisfy you because you sold out for less than God's best for your life. The tenth most important reason to create and tell yourself a new story, because if you don't, you won't make the impact on the world that God has called you to. This is one of the greatest and most significant reasons to choose the new story. Lives are hanging in the balance based on our willingness to choose faith over fear. I'm going to go to the line real quick before we close out. Caller, you're on. Caller?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hello, Frank. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
I hear
Frank,
you.
This is Mark. This is Mark. How
hey,
are you?
Mark. I'm well.
Hey,
Mark, how are you?
Excellent. Listen, I want to thank you for coming out there with your story and being so bold and forthright to help people to see and identify with what it is that you went through to help them free themselves, you know, to move forward in life. And, again, I appreciate you for what you're doing. It's interesting because, you know, when you're reading the Bible and you look into Proverbs, now this is the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, the son of David, who, through the inspiration of God, said that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And, you know, there's a lot of folks out there in your listening audience that are walking around without hope. And, you know, without that hope, something to be looking for, something to be dreaming for, something to be believing in, you do get sick. And not only do we walk around without hope at times and make ourselves sick, but we can also be someone that causes obstacle and stumble for someone else to be walking in their dream. So, you know, I look at it this way, again, and it's very inspirational, the things that you are talking about, because everyone needs a hope. Everyone needs a vision. You know, God puts seeds in us, talents, abilities, and gifts, and he calls us to cultivate. He calls us to tend our gardens. And, oh, by the way, don't forget to tend the gardens of those around you, because you know what? Then hopes and dreams come alive. You've got something to live for, and guess what? As it says, you will have a tree of life. And you and I have talked about this at times too, Frank. And again, I appreciate everything you're saying, because it talks about in Hebrews in 12:1 that we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Because if we don't, we'll never walk in the hope and the dream. We will never get to the promised land. We'll be living in the wilderness. So again, I just want to tell you that I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're making a major impact. You know, you definitely, you know, have sown seeds in my heart here by listening to what you have to say. And I just want to thank you and keep it up, because I know that you're called for a time such as this, and you're making great impact. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, Mark. I really do. And you know, that's a great scripture. I mean, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream or desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I mean, I really think that's one of the largest or the biggest problems in, you know, for humanity, is that there are people who have dreams, they have hopes, you know, for their life, and they're not walking in them, and it makes them sick. And we've all heard the saying that hurt people hurt people. It's not that people intend to do it. It's one of the things that is just a byproduct of sickness. You know, when we're sick, we can get other people sick. We don't try to do it. It's just a byproduct of you know, the virus that we're carrying. And the only way to overcome it is to have that hope. But we've got to let go of the old story. We've got to let go of the lies that we bought into that tell us that, you know what, that we're the worst mistake that we've ever committed. No, we're not. We all make mistakes. We're all challenged, you know, from that standpoint. We have to learn to allow those things to teach us and to grow. And then to share our story, you know, share our story. It's like, let the redeemed of the Lord share their story. God, save my life. And look, he saved my life. He plucked me as a 19-year-old lost kid and changed my life. Literally, changed my life. And I can't deny that. And I'll tell everyone, you know, the same thing. God changed my life at 19. He changed everything for me. So, wow, what a – this topic is just one that I believe that is it's just a powerful topic. I really do. I mean, that's why it was put on my heart to share about that this week, and, you know, to air that so that people can be free. So wherever you are, whatever's on your mind, whatever's weighing on your heart, find someone. Find someone who you know loves you. Find someone who you know you can trust, and begin to be free by unloading those things. And watch how they love you more, because they respect the fact that you have the courage to share from that deep place in your soul. Look, when people look in your eyes, when they hear your story, they automatically go to the place of thinking about their own mistakes, their own failures, and how they wish they could be freed. Someone's got to stand up. Someone's got to empower people to do such and let them know that it's going to be okay. Again, it's like I said, when you know, you can make a mistake, you can have a failure, but life's not over. It's not over. I mean, it is not over. You still got to keep moving. Before I close, I'd like to thank my listeners, the callers. Thank you so much for engaging in this conversation, this dialogue. I mean, whether you're an old friend or a new friend, I really appreciate your support. If you want to know more about me, about my story, my work, you can visit my website at www.coachft.com. You can access my Facebook page at facebook.com/coachft, or on Twitter, twitter.com/coachft. The power of a new story, that's actually a product that I created to help people who recognize they are stuck, holding on to a feeling, a belief that no longer serves them well, and they're ready to climb out of, you know, out of that grave they've been buried alive in, and are ready to live a new story. If you feel so inclined, you can get more information about this program by clicking on the products page on my website at www.coachft.com. Or you can go directly to the product site at www.thepowerofanewstory.com. Lastly, I'd be remiss if I didn't take the time to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, for without his sacrifice, I would be nothing. Thank you for tuning in to Hour of Truth with Coach FT. I look forward to speaking with you again next Sunday, same time on Blog Talk Radio's Creating Calm Network. Remember, if life has you down, the only thing left to do is rise. This is Coach FT. God bless you.